Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. News team has assembled. It must mean one thing. Time to take a look at the democratically selected news, the most emailed, most viewed, and most popular stories from the web, and then we decided which ones we liked. It's called The Most. Teasing me with this octopus story all morning.
This
so
cracks
going
me up.
First.
This is one of the most viewed at CNN.com. And the headline is Sex, Murder, Tentacles. Octopuses have it all. Which then I think, wasn't it octopi? Why are they saying octopuses? Maybe we can say both. I don't know. So marine biologists have done this big study about the love habits, so-called love habits of the octopus. And they published their findings recently in the journal Marine Biology. And they basically found that octopi kind of act a lot like us. There's a lot of jealousy involved in love relationships. Well, they're not really in love. But in their kind of sexual mating rituals, there's a lot of what appears to be jealousy, gender subterfuge. And apparently they have really great sex. They have really great sex.
Gender,
how do I say this?
Did you say gender subterfuge?
Yeah.
Hey, Rachel, I just want to point out, you know, we're not saying that octopi can't fall in love.
You're right.
You know,
I don't want to.
Everybody has the right to fall in love.
They also witnessed, apparently the males get really, they're very picky and macho when they select their mate, and they get really jealous, but that's just par for the course.
And according to Wikipedia, octopuses, octopi, and octopodes.
Octopodes.
All acceptable.
Mm. All acceptable.
Oh my gosh, I love learning things in the most.
That's all.
Who's
next?
Who's using Wikipedia as a source?
Just nobody in here. Caitlin, hi.
Hi. We distract the attention. I have one of the most emails from Yahoo News. The headline is, "Always buying sneakers, it's the sign of a leader." Turns out this group Mindset Media did a poll, and they found out that people who buy 3 pairs of sneakers or more a year are far more likely to be a leadership type than other people. They have the sort of the leadership traits that you look for, which are defined as having ideas and vision and a style with others that is both inclusive and decisive. And people who buy these sneakers are 61% more likely to have these traits. So,
I'm sorry, but when I see sneakers on someone, I don't think that's a decisive human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I often walk into a direct shoe warehouse and like, this is a room of leaders.
Okay. But they brought up a good point saying that people who buy a lot of sneakers tend to be more spontaneous, you know, because you have your sneakers, you're always ready to go, take on whatever challenge, maybe, I don't know.
What does it say about people who are always buying pizza?
They're hungry.
All right. I guess I can't learn anything new about myself on that front.
Sorry.
But Dan, you learned something new about Oprah.
That is true, yes. I actually did not know. I'm not one of these Oprah loyalists. Oprah's a dog lover. And we got a most email here from Yahoo News. Winfrey dedicates show to her late dog. She had a Cocker Spaniel, Sophie, who died last month from kidney failure. And Oprah is dedicating this Friday's show to Sophie. And they released advance remarks from that show. And Oprah says, "Sophie gave me 13 years of unconditional love. She was a true love in my life." And so she's doing a special show this Friday about puppy mills.
Oh.
And the mistreatment of dogs.
So an expose.
Right. Special correspondent Lisa Ling will be investigating puppy mills.
Am I the only one who doesn't know what a puppy mill is?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Lisa Ling is a special correspondent for Oprah.
Yeah, don't get me started.
What?
Don't get me started.
Okay.
I can do some more research on it, Rachel, the puppy mill. But basically, it's you know, like a lot of the puppies in the pet stores and a lot of the puppies that end up in pounds are in these places where puppies are just sort of cranked out for mass consumption
commerce.
And therefore not treated well in the process.
Got it.
Once again, weighing in, we are not suggesting that puppies are consumed by human beings.
Right.
No.
Yes, I did say puppies for mass consumption, but I meant mass... playing.
You are so on top of things today.
I know, seriously.
You know, I'm going to start kibitzing every story. I'll be like, I'm sorry, we are not suggesting that you're telling a story.
That was not the correct use of kibitzing, Editor McKinney, but I'll let it slide.
Is there going to have an edit?
10 demerits to the editor.
She's wearing sneakers. Did you know that? Ian, for you.
Yeah,
what's up?
This is a most emailed from Yahoo News, and I have to say, I keep going back and forth on
whether or not this story is more sad or more insane. And I think I'm ultimately settling on sad. But a group of third graders in Georgia plotted to attack their teacher. These are third graders. And they had this really elaborate plan. They brought in a broken steak knife, handcuff, duct tape, and other items. And what makes this so crazy is there was this plan where kids were assigned different roles. Some kids were supposed to go cover up the windows. Some were supposed to guard the door. It was just this amazing plan. It didn't end up going through. They were stopped before it happened. But the students are sort of being investigated. Under Georgia law, you can't be prosecuted for a crime if you're under 13. And these kids, of course, were 8 or 9. They were apparently mad at their teacher because she'd scolded one of them for standing on a chair. I just can't get my head around sort of the organization that these kids got to.
That part of it is actually a little bit amazing that they actually all agreed.
That's when the insane comes in the sad, right. Yeah.
Well, mine's just sad, I guess. It's Yahoo Buzz number one search name, Sean LeVert, one of the singers of the band LeVert. He died at age 39. Now, it's odd the way he died. He died while serving a jail term. He was sentenced to 1 year and 10 months for failing to pay about $89,000 in child support. Well-known name in R&B circles because his dad was the lead singer of the OJs. And LeVert, for people who don't remember, they had this huge, huge hit song, a big favorite of Matt Martinez. Do you have that, Jacob? I'm a George Casanova. Matt loves this song, so in memory of Sean LeVert, a little Casanova. Can't you see how much
I'm really loving? I gotta get to the chorus.
Okay. Sing it to you time and time again. Oh,
Casanova. Oh, I like that little part that goes, Casanova.
That's a reviewer, Matt Martinez, from the news booth. And Matt, you're going to finish out the most.
I am. One of the most emailed at NPR right now is a report by NPR's Elizabeth Shogren. Atlanta family slashes carbon footprint. It's part of NPR's Climate Connection series. Here is the story.
It's still dark when the Taylors start their day in their swanky, compact loft apartment.
Baby, are you ready?
Malaika Taylor and her 11-year-old daughter, Maya, ride the elevator and walk a few blocks to the school bus stop. Maya's backpack has wheels, and she rolls it behind her. The Taylors used to live the typical suburban life, the kind that helps make America the world's top contributor to climate change. But 3 years ago, they moved to Atlantic Station. It's a new community in Midtown Atlanta, designed to put jobs, homes, and shopping all in one place. Their lifestyle changed dramatically.
7:20. Here she is.
Hi. Malaika Taylor walks briskly towards the apartment complex where she works as a property manager. She says she moved to the city because she was fed up with all the hours she spent in her car.
And there's some weekends where I don't even use my car. My daughter likes to go to the movies, so maybe we'll go to a movie or... And all of her friends, you know, we're the house that everybody wants to come to, so her friends come and we'll just kind of hang out and walk around.
That's the whole point of developments like this. Walkable communities are springing up around the country. Proponents say they help cut pollution from cars, including carbon dioxide, which contributes to climate change. Less than 10 minutes later, Malaika Taylor arrives at work. She hasn't burned any gasoline or spewed carbon dioxide into the air.
Now, I have to admit, if it's raining or really cold, I'll drive.
But the drive is less than a mile and doesn't have much impact on global warming. That's unusual in Atlanta. The federal government estimates Atlanta residents, on average, travel 32 miles each day in cars. But the people who live and work in Atlantic Station drive about a third that much.
We don't often think of a development as a way to solve environmental problems, but this is really a unique example of kind of growing your way into better environmental quality in some ways.
Jeff Anderson helped steer the project for the Environmental Protection Agency. Now he's president and CEO of a group called Smart Growth America that advocates for environmentally friendly development. At first, the EPA supported Atlantic Station as a way to help Atlanta fight its unhealthy smog problem. Anderson says now the agency sees the community as a model of how America can fight climate change.
The two biggest things that we do from a carbon perspective are we heat our houses or cool them, or we drive. And when you combine that, that's going to add up to a big chunk of your personal carbon footprint.
Reducing her carbon footprint wasn't on Malaika Taylor's mind when she moved here. She just wanted her life back. But living here has cut her and Maya's impact on global warming to about half the national average for a family of two.
See you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a nice day.
At 3:20, Malaika's workday is over. Today she went home for lunch, as she often does.
My dog likes it when he gets a midday walk.
Since it had started raining, she picked up her car. When she lived in the suburbs, Taylor filled up her gas tank 3 or 4 times every 2 weeks. Not anymore.
We get paid bi-weekly. I can fill up on payday and make it to payday without filling up again, which is nice.
Her other energy bills shrank too.
When we had a house, you know, easily in the winter, the gas bill was almost $200.
The Taylors use electricity to heat and cool their apartment. That bill tops out at around $80. That's about 20% less than the average bill for an Atlanta household. Apartments often have lower energy costs because of shared walls and smaller spaces. If lots of Americans lived like the Taylors, the nation's greenhouse gas pollution could drop by hundreds of millions of tons. It took just a couple minutes to drive to Maya's bus stop. As we wait in the car, Malaika says what she really values is extra time with her daughter. When they lived in the suburbs, it took Malaika more than an hour to get to Maya's after-school care.
I was one of the last parents getting there, and just the guilt. And I was just really unhappy with the way the evenings were. I felt all I did like was work, cook dinner, go to bed, work, cook dinner, go to bed.
And commute.
Yeah, and commute, yeah.
Of course, the move didn't come without trade-offs.
I can't afford to buy a house in the city. It took me 4 garage sales to get rid of enough stuff to fit into my apartment. You know, I thought I purged, and it still wasn't enough, and I had to purge again, but here's the bus.
How was school today, babe?
Good.
It takes no time and hardly any gas or greenhouse gas emissions to drive home. Sometimes Taylor has to go back to work, but since she has no commute and starts so early, on days like today, she's done. Maya settles in to do homework, and her mom decides to go to the grocery store. Taking shelter under an umbrella, Malaika walks all of 2 minutes to get there. On the way, she points out the places where she and Maya happily fill up their free time.
The movie theater is on that back street. It's right down there, so very close. And then they have a little Central Park area in the middle where they throw all kind of different events. During Christmas, they had a big tree and they would make it snow.
They also walk to stores like Target and IKEA, as well as the supermarket.
I forgot to take something out to cook tonight, so.
What are you going to make for dinner?
Fajitas.
Her errand takes less than 15 minutes door to door.
Yeah, that's hands down probably one of the biggest perks about living here. The convenience, convenience, convenience.
It's only 4:20. Maya's already made a big dent in her homework, and Malaika has a few hours to kill.
Maybe I'll work out. You know, maybe we'll play a game. It makes a huge difference just in the quality of our life.
While most Atlantans are still at work or stuck on congested highways, the Taylors have a whole evening in front of them.
That's NPR's Elizabeth Shogren reporting. You can find a link to this story and all the stories you heard on The Most by clicking to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.